Good morning. And wherever you are and wherever you're joining us this morning, we're really glad that you could be with us today. And as we worship, and also as today is Remembrance Sunday, we do remember. And we remember those who have served, and we pray for God's peace and healing wherever there has been war and the impact of war in people's lives and hearts. This week, Tuesday night, prayer meeting continuing on Zoom at 8 o'clock. And then just a reminder, most everybody may know, but just in case somebody forgot or missed it, the Bible study on Wednesdays is now finished. And thanks again to everybody who's been able to join in with that. The Alpha is still going, though, on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. So you're welcome to join for that. And then next Sunday, 10 o'clock as normal for our Zoom virtual service. And next Sunday morning, we're going to be having what we refer to as our WDR, or World Development and Relief Service. And we'll talk more about exactly what that is. But in the Methodist Church, there are two branches of outreach and mission around the world. And the World Development and Relief one is one that partners with different organizations to fight poverty, to provide water, to provide education, to provide support for women in different places. And we'll be talking and thinking more about that, and how God calls and empowers his people, each of us, to serve and to work for justice and equality around the world. So we'll be looking at that next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Thanks again to Maureen and Annika, who took the service last Sunday morning. And appreciate them stepping in, and we had a nice time off. And in spite of the weather, we enjoyed some lovely time in front of the fire. Nothing better, I think, than being in front of a hot fire when it's windy and rainy outside and enjoying a cup of coffee and a book. So we had a good time. Thank you very much for your prayers. Also, just want to mention, and this will mean more for those connected with Glastry. This morning, we want to pass on our condolences to the Perry family. Joe Perry, who's a member of the Glastry congregation, and his daughter, Lillian Dixon. Many of you will know Lillian. Joe Perry passed away late last night. It wasn't unexpected. He had been unwell for some time. But we want to remember, and we will be praying for the Perry family later on in our service this morning. Well, lots of things going on in our world, as always. But each week it seems something new or different. And of course, the news is always full of all sorts of things. And today, on Remembrance Day, as we remember both the challenges of the past, those who have served faithfully in the past, and also in the present as well today. And in the midst of geopolitical situations around the world that are complicated and painful, and we remember that we have a God who is a refuge, a God who is a strength, one that we can turn to and we can pray to. We may feel small and powerless in the midst of this world and in the face of many of the challenges that are splashed across the news. But the God that we turn to and we look to this morning together is not powerless. He does care, as he shows in his Son, in the sending of his Son Jesus. And he is active and present in our world. And so it is to him that we turn this morning. And in our song, our opening song this morning, one that we know well, we remember that God has been our help in ages past, but also he is the one for years to come, the one who can guide us, who can lead us, and teach us also wisdom and how to live rightly before our God. We're singing there's actually six verses to this song, but we're just taking the four verses, the first two and the last two, which are all that's on your lyric sheet. And Don and Jill are going to lead us in this song. So let us worship and look to our great God.
Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. O God of help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our God while life shall last, and our eternal home.
Amen. Thank you very much, Don and Jill, for leading us in that. This morning, as we remember today, we remember as people who are coming from many different places and backgrounds and experiences. And we remember that even as we honor those who have served in war, served as police officers and other important services in our countries, remember that both God calls us to remember both the fallen, those who were victims, those who served, to remember all. Christians have always viewed war, even if they have viewed it as sometimes necessary, as still being a necessary evil, one in which we must still repent from and ask God his forgiveness for. War is the result of our sin and our inability to live at peace with God and with one another. And so in a moment, we're going to take time to remember, to pause in silence, and I'm going to play the last post, and I think it should play through clearly, all being well. But as we listen to that, and as we remember, let us not just remember our side, as it were, but as Christians whose primary identity is citizens of the kingdom of God, we remember all who have fallen and suffered in the midst of war, whether they have been on the right side or the wrong side. We remember. We pray for God's peace, and we give honor. So I'm going to play this now, and all being well, we will listen to it. And then there will be a 2-minute silence, and at the end of that, I will lead us in prayer. Thank you. Father, as we come to you this morning, we do give thanks for the many men and women, both present and past, who have laid down their lives in order to protect us, to preserve, or to bring peace. We thank you for those who have served on the front lines and those who have served at home. We thank you, Father, for those who maybe were single and went away from their parents and those who had to leave behind wife and children. We remember them today. We give you thanks for the freedom and liberty that we enjoy in our Western world, Father, because of that. We confess that we have not always lived as we should have with that responsibility and with that freedom, that the way that we live at times does not sufficiently honor sacrifice that some have made. We ask your forgiveness for that, Lord. And even more importantly, we ask your forgiveness for the failure at times to live the type of love that you have shown us in Jesus, the one who died for his enemies. If we lived with that kind of love, if our nations lived with that kind of love, then we would not see war. And so we confess our greed, we confess our arrogance, we confess a nationalism that at times is self-centered and focused on itself. And we pray, Father, for your peace to touch our lives, for your justice to touch our world, so that we could truly live in a way that honors those who have served. Lord, we pray today for your healing. Lord, not only here in the United Kingdom, Father, but in many other places around the world, some where war has become a distant memory, but it still had its impact, other places where war is a much more fresh and vivid memory and experience. And Lord, regardless of whether one found themselves on the right or wrong end of that war, that conflict, we pray, both for those who were victims caught up in the midst of it, innocent bystanders, civilians, Father, caught up in the midst of these conflicts. We pray for your grace and for your healing in these places. And Lord, help us all, through your wisdom and with your courage, to work for what is right, honorable, and peaceable. Lord, to live at peace with one another, wherever and with all possible means. Lord, we thank you that as we gather here this morning from different places and even from different countries, that we gather first and foremost as Christians, and secondly, and only secondly, as citizens of various countries. We gather together as part of the family of God, seeking peace and praying for your healing, Lord, praying for protection, Father, for those who serve, and praying that you would help us to live in unity, and that through our lives and through our relationships and how we love one another, the world would see and know that there is a better way to live, a healing way to live, a beautiful way to live. So help us as we worship this morning, that you would continue that work of grace in each of our lives and in all of us together, that we may show that kind of likeness of Christ in our midst. And Father, as your Son, Jesus, taught us to pray, we join together this morning as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Again, you're all very welcome this morning. Thanks for joining in with us today. I want to speak now to, I think Roxanna is at least with us, and I don't know if there's any other boys and girls on, and if they are, they can unmute themselves. Are you there, Roxanne?
Yes.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. Good. You know what this picture is? Let me actually enlarge it. Can you see this picture?
A poppy,
that's right. Do you know why poppies are important for this day? Excuse me. Any idea?
Remember the soldiers.
That's right. Remember the soldiers. And, of course, part of the reason why poppies became important for remembering the soldiers is because they started growing in the fields of France over the graves of soldiers who had died in World War I. And so from that time on, it became a very special way to remember them. And, of course, the colors, the red reminds us of their lives, their blood being shed, and the black in the center also reminding us of their death. And people have often used the poppy to remember in various ways the service of many from around the world and at different times. Now, we like to use, as humans, we like to use things to help us remember important stuff. And I don't know, Roxanne, maybe while I'm talking, you can think and think if there's anything in your home, or maybe even a toy or something, maybe it was from a trip or something special you got to do, and or anybody else that is important to you and reminds you of things. So I have, I had to kind of set a number in the number of mugs that I would show, because I have lots of mugs to enjoy. So this is a mug from Mallorca, and this mug is, I had a great trip with the family to Mallorca a few years ago, and so whenever I drink this, I remember that nice trip. It brings back fond memories. I have a mug from Edinburgh, from a trip. I'm trying to think which trip this was, whether it was the one with my cousin or another time. But so whenever I drink out of this mug, it helps me remember my trip to Edinburgh, and I really enjoyed that. Lots of cool places to see there. Now I also have a mug, and I don't know if you can see it clearly or not, but this mug has pictures from Naomi and I's wedding day. And so this mug is special because it reminds me of our marriage and the love that Naomi and I have for each other. So that's a very special mug as well. I have a couple of other things from another trip many years ago before I ever came to Northern Ireland. I made a trip to Europe, and a church history reformation trip, and this is kind of a silver plate, although I don't actually eat out of it, Roxanne. It's just kind of for show. And can you see what's on the center of that? Or any guesses to what's in the picture in the center of that, Roxanne?
A church.
That's a good guess. Yeah, it almost looks like a little bit like a castle, and it's actually called the Castle Church. And that's a church in a city called Wittenberg in Germany. And Matthias will know where that's at. And there's also a kind of a zinc little cup that I got as well. And again, I don't drink out of it. It has the same church on one side, the Castle Church. On the other side, it has the image of a guy called Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a preacher about 500 years ago, and he lived in the city of Wittenberg in Germany. So I got those things, and whenever I look at those things, they remind me of that trip, because that was a pretty special and fun trip as well. Then I've also got this hat. And this hat, Roxanne, any guesses where this one came from?
Kazakhstan.
Yeah, Kazakhstan. That was last year, last summer. Myself and Barry Woods and the Hammond family, we went to Kazakhstan. And that was a very special trip, not just because I got to see neat places, but also because it was a trip in which we really felt like God was there with us and meeting with us, and we got to meet other wonderful Christians as well. And so when I see that hat, it reminds me of that trip and reminds me of the people that I met as well. Oh, and I also just, Naomi gave me one. It's a little Eiffel Tower, and of course it's from a trip that Naomi and I did years ago, mission trip to Paris, a weekend trip, and got home, and Naomi got really sick with food poisoning. Not from the food in Paris, but actually from a Burger King on the way back from Dublin. This last thing, Roxanne, and again, this may not show very clearly, and hopefully it doesn't look backwards, but it's a little band that I could put on my wrist, and it says, "I will remember them." And there's some people actually in our church that wear this all of the time. And, or sorry, it says, "I will not abandon them." And it's actually referring to Christians around the world who are in countries where it isn't safe or it's not allowed to be a Christian or to go to church. And so some people wear this band around their wrist, and anytime they look at it, they are reminded of other Christians around the world to pray for them and not to forget them and to stand with them. You know, all of these different things are things like the poppy that remind us both about those who have served, those who have done things to make sure that we can live in freedom and we can live a safe life. We can live in a country where there's justice and the law is kept. But these things are also meant to remind us of what's important now and about how to live now. And so this mug that I have of Naomi and I from our wedding, and when I drink this, I'm reminded of the importance of loving my wife, of loving Naomi. When I see this wristband, then I'm reminded of the importance of praying for, but also being inspired to live like the other Christians around the world, that just as they have courage to keep loving Jesus and telling people about Jesus no matter what, that I want to have that same type of courage. And so you see, these things are not just about remembering what happened in the past, but about how I should live now as well. And the same thing with the poppy today. We don't just remember those who have served in the past in wars, or those who served in our police forces, and we give thanks for them, but we also want to live well now. And that's the best way to honor them, is to live for peace now, to live for justice now, to be kind to our friends and to our neighbors as well. So not just today, not just because it's Remembrance Sunday, but anytime we see the poppy, let's not just remember, but let's remember so that we can live well and that we can honor those who have serve to keep us safe and to give us freedom. So thanks so much, Roxanne, for listening and helping out there with me. All right, we're going to have two readings from Scripture now, and the first reading is going to be from Psalm 90 and the first 12 verses of Psalm 90. And Kenneth Brooks is going to be leading us in that reading, and then immediately following that, I will follow with a reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verses 10 to 21. So, good morning, Kenneth, and thank you very much.
Good morning and greetings from South Yorkshire. The reading this morning is from Psalm 90, verses 1 to 12. Of God and humanity. O Lord, you have always been our home. Before you created the hills or brought the world into being, you were eternally God and will be God forever. You tell us to return to what we were. You change us back to dust. 1,000 years to you are like one day. They are like yesterday, already gone. Like a short hour in the night, you carry us away like a flood. We last no longer than a dream. We are like weeds that sprout in the morning, that grow and burst into bloom, then dry up and die in the evening. We are destroyed by your anger. We are terrified by your fury. You place our sins before you, our secret sins where you can see them. Our life is cut short by your anger. It fades away like a whisper. 70 years is all we have. 80 years if we are strong. Yet all they bring us is trouble and sorrow. Life is soon over, and we are gone. Who has felt the full power of your anger? Who knows what fear your fury can bring? Teach us how short our life is, so that we can become wise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Ken, for leading us in that reading. Now our second reading is from 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verses 10 through 21. And it's a passage that remembers some of David's mighty warriors. These were the chiefs of David's mighty warriors. They, together with all Israel, gave his kingship strong support to extend it over the whole land, as the Lord had promised. This is the list of David's mighty warriors. Jashobeam, a Hakmonite, was chief of the officers. He raised his spear against 300 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty warriors. He was with David at Pasdamim when the Philistines gathered there for battle. At a place where there was a field full of barley, the troops fled from the Philistines. But they took their stand in the middle of the field. They defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Three of the 30 chiefs came down to David to the rock at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistines' garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the three broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out to the Lord. "God forbid that I should do this," he said. "Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives?" Because they risked their lives to bring it back, David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the three mighty warriors. Amen. I decided this week that I would do the second reading, not because I didn't think anybody else could manage the names and strange words, but more just to save anybody else the embarrassment, and I'll be embarrassed then if I get it wrong as well. Many unusual names and a distant story, but yet at the same time, I think this as well as Psalm 90 will speak to us this morning. Memory, it is a history-shaping force. Memory is far more powerful than I think any of us can imagine or realize, and impacts us and shapes us in significant ways. After World War I, different people had different ways in which they remembered World War I and its the end and its climax. For many people in Germany, their memory of the war was one in which many in Germany felt like they had been betrayed, felt like they've been betrayed maybe by the monarch or maybe by the military leadership. Some felt like there had been a stab in the back from Jewish Marxism and that they've been betrayed in that way. And many Germans then also felt like the consequences of the Treaty of Versailles and the reparations that they were going to have to pay in return was unfair and unjust. Whereas the French, their memory was a bit different, because what they remembered was that this had been the second time in 50 years that Germany had invaded France. And so their feelings were also very strong about this, but in a different way. They felt like the reparations, the Treaty of Versailles, were completely justified. Well, as time went on, and then as the Depression struck in the late 1920s and early 1930s, these memories were shaping the future. For the Germans, some of whom felt like Treaty of Versailles had been unfair, that the end of World War I had been an unfair conclusion, they were quickly drawn towards somebody like Adolf Hitler, who could promise to make these injustices right, to right these wrongs. Whereas, of course, the French and the British and the Americans and others of the Allies their memory was very different. And so the memory of what had happened in the past actually shaped what was to come in the future and impacted the future. So how we remember today, what we remember, and what we do with those memories is important for both our present as well as our future. Memory is powerful. It is powerful because it can shape us even as communities. Alan Verhey said, memory provided community and continuity. And he was thinking of a memory in the Bible. And over again, the Israelites in the Old Testament, they are told to remember. Remember what God did for you here. Remember what God did for you there. They're encouraged not to forget. And it's that memory that brought them together, and it was like strings that tied them together. We know that memory is important even when we think about, and for those who have had family members who've suffered dementia, and the loss of memory and how it changes that person, we recognize that memory is a powerful thing. Memory can impact national identities, and we were just talking about French and German identities, but memory can impact us even as the United Kingdom or Ireland or here on this island of Ireland, and what has happened in the last 40, 50, 100 years between various communities. It shapes who we are. What we remember shapes often how we live now and how we react, both now and in the future. It can be powerful for a community. If I were to ask you this morning, where were you on 9/11? What do you remember? What are those memories for you? I remember growing up and hearing my two of my uncles talk, asking the question or remembering where they were when Ronald Reagan was shot in the early 80s. Some of you will be able to remember where you were when you heard that John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. These were significant events, and some of them very far away from us, but yet these memories have had an impact upon us even to the present day. I remember where I was on 9/11. It was a Tuesday morning. My dad happened to be off work that day. It was his day off, and he was doing some work about the house. And my brother and I had been helping out, and we gathered around the TV in the living room. And those memories have shaped dramatically foreign policy of nations, shaped how we even travel, how easily or how difficult it is to travel nowadays. Memory is powerful. And it can also shape us in very personal ways as well. When I was pastoring in Jamora, I knew a gentleman who back in the 1970s, his family owned a shop in the center of Jamora, and his family lived above that shop. And that shop had been firebombed, and his sister and the rest of his family were killed in the fire. And this man's wife told me she had known him before that tragedy, and then they got married, and she said that that drastically changed him. He was such a quiet, reserved, withdrawn man. It was so difficult to have any sort of conversation with him. But he hadn't been like that before the tragedy. But the memory of that, the experience of that, had stayed with him, and it had completely transformed him and impacted him. So memory does change us. It forms us and shapes who we are and even how we live. Again, Alan Verhey says, memory remains related to the formation of identity, who we are, and the determination of conduct, how we live our actions. Now, while memory is powerful, it is important to recognize that all memory is selective. All memory is selective. Now, this isn't always a good thing. My wife sometimes tells me that my memory is selective to certain things. I can be very absent-minded about some things, and then I remember other things very well. But even when it comes to important matters, sometimes our memory can be selective. And we want to be people who remember the truth. Remember the truth. For many Americans growing up for decades and generations, as children went to school and read their history books, the memory and remembering that was going on about American origins and the rise of the United States often gave short thrift to Native Americans, to their identity, to what happened to them, and also to people of color, particularly blacks. And today they are recognizing more and more, although a lot more work has to be done, the importance of remembering the truth, of not turning a blind eye. And this is where selective memory can be a negative thing, where we fail to remember what we need to remember. A month or two back, when museums had opened up again, Nathaniel and I had a day on a Saturday, I think it was, and we went up to Belfast to the Northern Ireland War Memorial and Museum. It was our first time there. It ended up being much smaller than I thought. It's really just kind of a medium-sized room, and you make your circle around. But it was fascinating nonetheless, and particularly because we found pictures of Ballyhalbert airfields and Kirkeston airfields, and so there was a local connection. And recently somebody had told me about how all the airmen and servicemen lived right around here in Glastry, close to the church building, and there was a movie spot just down the road, a movie cinema, movie house. And so it was very fascinating going through that museum and then reading about some men who actually flew from here on their way to Germany in order to stop the spread of Nazism. But while I was reading that and reading about some young men who had actually been part of the bombing of Hamburg, I can't forget as well that my grandfather was a little boy in Hamburg, having nothing to do with the war, and like many others, caught up in the midst of that, and 80% of Hamburg was reduced to rubble in some of the firebombing that took place. And so remembering is both remembering those who did stand up in the face of Nazism and that evil, but also remembering as well that sometimes the manner in which we have stood up against wrong, we have also failed as well, that we have lived or served unjustly. So selective, we want to remember the truth, but we also recognize that we can't remember everything. We are humans. We are not going to remember everything that we hear or that we learn. And so it is important to remember what's important and ask ourselves, what is important? What is most important that we remember? And of course, we want to remember the truth. Psalm 90 is a prayer praying that we would remember what is important, that we would know God's justice, that we would recognize his righteous wrath against evil and abuse and wickedness in our world, and the strong oppressing the weak, the rich taking advantage of the poor. We pray for wisdom so that we would remember what is important, but also to then review over and over again what God has done. You know, part of the problem for the people of God, the Israelites, was that they failed to review over and over again how God had stepped into their midst, into their lives in the past. In the same way, when we fail to review those who have protected us, those who have served and cared for us, we fail to review properly the past and remember the truth, well then, we are going to fail ourselves. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, God was challenging the Israelites to free those who had fallen into debt slavery after 6 years, and to set them free in the seventh year, and to forgive all their debts, even if the debts hadn't been repaid, to set them free, to give them a fresh start. And God said to them, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. And you know, it was because of the memory of the fallout after World War I and how the response of the Allies really didn't work to bring healing to Germany, and could have been much better, that the Marshall Plan was developed in the aftermath of World War II. And the Marshall Plan was a plan in which the Allies would pour money, resources, expertise into the defeated countries in order to rebuild them, not to punish them, but to rebuild them. Remembering made a positive impact and guided their actions. And that's what memory is also about. Memory is powerful. It shapes us. Memory is selective. We want to remember the truth and what is most important. But memory ultimately needs to shape how we live today. We remember today those who have served in various fields of combat, those who have sacrificed sometimes their lives, sometimes their limbs, sometimes have come back Their bodies are intact, but yet their minds and their own memories are scarred and tormented through PTSD. And as we remember that today, we want that to spur us to action. Spencer Jones said, remembering something implies acting in accordance with what is remembered. What if we remember today and then tomorrow we go on to live selfish lives or lives that are not filled with kindness and justice towards one another? How is that good remembering? How does that honor those who have sought to protect our freedoms and our liberties, to enable us to live in a just and free world? No, as we remember, we want to remember in such a way that we give honor where honor is due. The books of Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, which is really one book, is an exercise in remembering. Remembering how God had helped the Israelites in the past, but remembering so that they could learn to live faithfully in love to God and love towards one another. In 1 Chronicles chapter 11, we find remembering of some mighty warriors of the past and their great exploits and feats. And we find here this short, fascinating story about how three of these mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines into Bethlehem, and not to get any sort of, you know, special piece of intelligence or to capture a hostage, but to get a pitcher of water that David was thirsty for, that David just had this kind of random longing for. And they bring it back to David, but David recognizes in that moment that in order to pay proper honor, it needs to shape his actions in the present, that he couldn't just drink this water, that it would actually be disrespectful to the loyalty and the service of these men. And so his action is to pour the water out in honor of them. So we do want to pay honor where it is due. We also want to allow our memory to shape our surroundings. You know, this is, I think, more than we realize. What we remember and what is important to us that we remember often does shape our surroundings, whether it's pictures of family or friends or important trips that we've made, whether it's trinkets, and some of which I showed from my own life here today, but also the poppies in our churches. We have crosses at the front of our church buildings to remind us that we are people of the cross. You know, our surroundings are meant to be shaped to help us to remember and therefore to live rightly. In Numbers chapter 15, God gave the Israelites instructions to put tassels on their robes. And he said, you will have these tassels to look at so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by chasing after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. In other words, these tassels, these tangible physical things, were meant to be there to remind them, to help them to remember, but not just remember up here, but to remember so they can live differently. In the same way today, we do remember, and every day we want to remember so that we can live differently. We can live to right wrongs, to pursue justice and righteousness. Here in Northern Ireland, we have lots of things we can remember. And often on the radio, we hear people arguing about what they remember and what is important to remember. We sometimes talk about the different narratives that are present in Northern Ireland, conflicting memories. And certainly, we want to remember what is important. We want to remember the truth. But we do want to remember then to work for justice, to right wrongs, but also then to show mercy. Because as we remember the wrongs that have been done in the past, we also remember that each one of us has wronged others ourselves, that we ourselves are in need of God's mercy, forgiveness, and grace. We remember that as nations, that though at times we have maybe gone to war in order to reestablish justice, freedom, or to halt evil, that we ourselves have at times been guilty of aggression, of injustice, of the limitations of freedom, of oppressing the poor and the vulnerable. So we show mercy. Let's remember today. Let's remember how powerful our memory is. Let's remember the truth and what is most important. but more importantly than anything, let us allow this memory, remembering first of all the love of God that God has shown us in Jesus, to empower us to live lives that honor the liberty and freedoms that we have, to live lives of compassion, justice, and mercy towards our neighbors, even if that includes our enemies. Amen. So may we remember. We're now going to pray, and as we pray, we're going to be remembering needs, places around the world in which maybe the memory of war is still fresh, places where maybe war is still ongoing, and we will also take time, of course, to pray for more local needs. As usual, I'm going to paste some prayer requests in the chat, and if you would like to add some personal prayer requests and people that you know who need our prayers right now, then you're welcome to add those to that, and I will try to keep my eyes open for that. So let us pray this morning. Father, we thank you that you are the God who has been our help in ages past, even when we didn't deserve it, even when we ourselves had gone astray. You are a God who redeems and reconciles and heals, and we thank you for that. We pray that you would help us to be people who remember so that we may live rightly in the present and in the future. Memory is a powerful thing, and we thank you for the gift of memory. But as we remember those who have served today, those who have fallen, those who have maybe been innocent civilians in war, those who maybe have fought on the quote-unquote wrong side, but thinking that they were doing the right thing, and have suffered as a result, Lord, we remember them all. We pray for your grace and for your peace. We pray for places around our world today that are in the midst of ongoing conflict, whether that includes Yemen, Afghanistan, Somalia, Central African Republic, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Syria, and others. We pray for places where the memory of war is still fresh and painful, and it is still shaping both the present and the future. Places like Iraq, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Serbia, Kosovo, Chechnya, Sudan and South Sudan, Rwanda, and again, many other places. Father, we pray for your healing in these nations. You are the God who rules the world and rules the nations. We pray that in your compassion and mercy, you would touch the lives of those who are most vulnerable in these places, those who are maybe carrying the traumatic impacts of the past, some maybe who were, transgressors and aggressors. They brought evil and pain and murder and violence themselves. We pray for their repentance. We pray, Lord, for the healing that comes through turning away from that sin and from that evil and seeking to make things right, seeking to be reconciled. Help us as Western nations, Father, where we live here, that we would work towards peace and justice as well. Lord, as we look around the world, we also pray for the United States, and as they come out of the election of this past week, and we just pray now for your healing, pray for guidance, Father, to President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, and as they begin to prepare for office, and for President Trump as he finishes up his term. Lord, here is a nation that has many strengths, but also many needs. And we pray for your healing, your presence, Lord, to be at work in this country for good. For our own national situation here in the United Kingdom and the island of Ireland, Lord, we pray for continued wisdom in the coping and dealing with COVID-19, and not just with the virus itself, but the impact of lockdown and whether on people's mental health and well-being or on people's financial situation and their jobs. Lord, we pray, Father, that this would be sin, that the rate of infection would drop, and that you would give wisdom to those who have leadership, whether in the political or government or medical fields, Father. Give them discernment. Help those on the front line, Lord, and watch over them and keep them safe, we pray. Finally, Father, we pray for some of the local needs. And this morning, we remember Jean Perry. We remember her daughters, Lillian, Joanne, and Andrea, and all of the family. We thank you for Joe and We thank you for the life that he lived, his love for you. Pray for your comfort, Lord, to that family and to every family that we know right now that is grieving, Father, whether of a recent loss or one not so recent. Comfort and strengthen. Father, we pray for those who are not well. Some connected with us today or have had some health challenges recently. And we thank you for Jill Withers and for watching over her, and just pray that you continue to bless her and keep her and bring healing and strength to her. We thank you that Elizabeth could join in with us as well today and pray for your continued recovery and healing for her. And for each one that we mention in our hearts and minds this morning, in this moment, we lift them before you. Thank you for hearing us. May you continue to be with us as we remember today, and may we remember and live faithfully. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, as we finish with our last song, it's a song, a much more recent hymn by Fred Kahn, and I was reading a little bit about Fred Kahn, and he's one of the most prolific English-speaking hymn writers of the last century. Fred Kahn was actually born in Holland in 1929 and lived through the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands. Three of his grandparents... Oh, you okay? Oh, dear. Hold on a minute. One moment. Don and Jill, you can go on ahead here.
For the healing of the nations, Lord, we pray with one accord. For a just and equal sharing of the things that earth affords, to a life of love in action, help us rise and pledge our word. Lead us, Father, into freedom. From despair your world release, that redeemed from war and hatred, all may come and go in peace. Show us how through care and goodness fear will die and hope increase. All that kills abundant living, let it from the earth be banned. Item, status, race, or schooling, dogmas that obscure your plan, in our common quest of justice, may we have life's brief span. You, Creator God, have written your great name on humankind. For our growing in your likeness, bring the life of Christ to mind, that by our response and service, earth its destiny may find.
Thank you very much, Don and Jill. Apologies, I had a slip out there. Naomi was sitting on a stool beside me, and the stool collapsed under her and hurt her back. So I had to help her out there. So, now, as I was saying, Fred Kahn, he lived in Holland, went through the Nazi occupation. Three of his grandparents died in the hunger winter of 1944 and 45. His own parents were involved in the Dutch resistance, and for 2 years sheltered a Jewish woman and also a political prisoner who had escaped from Belsen. And it was out of those experiences, those memories, that many of his hymns have themes of justice and righteousness and praying for God to be at work in our world. So I was thinking about that and found that challenging as well. And may we allow memory, remembering what God has done for us in Christ, and even painful memories of our lives and of our world, spur us on to live for God and for justice and love for one another. Thank you very much for joining in this morning with us. And you're welcome to unmute yourself in just a moment. I'm going to share the grace together and invite you to join in with me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us, each one, and wherever you came from this morning. Great to have you with us, and even to see a few dogs joining in as well.
Dogs.
Great.
Good to see you.
Yes.